Shalom to all. Today's daf is Chol Daf Kof Chaf Zayin. We're starting Kof Chaf Amud Beis about several lines off the bottom with the words Tana Rabbanan. And today's daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Shara Bas Biaka Moshe Hernish Amos Shad Havin Aliyah. So Mishnah mentioned this achbar, this mouse, which is half basar, half adama, because it grows from some sort of garbage heap. And now we're going to bring this up in a brisa. So the Gemara tells us Tana Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Mitoch Shenemar, from the fact that the pasuk says regarding shratzim achbar, that's one of the shratzim, an achbar, a mouse. Shmeini Afil Achbar Shabayam Shishmai Achbar. I would hear from this that even a mouse in the sea, which is called an achbar, also has a din of shratzim. There's a type of fish that looks like a mouse, so it's called a mouse. So I would say that also has a din of shratzim. However, vidinhu, I would say a kavachim with the opposite. Timei becholda v'timei ba'achbar. The Torah is matami with a chuldo, which is usually translated as a weasel. That's tepe sheretz, and also is matami with an achbar. Now, machulda min hagadal al aretz, av achbar min hagadal al aretz. A chulda that lives and develops only on the ground, so maybe an achbar as well, the type of achbar that lives on the land, that's something that's matami as sheretz, not one in the sea. Ay, or perhaps, klachadar chzu, maybe we should go the other way. Timei becholda v'timei ba'achbar. The Torah is matami with a chulda and achbar, and we should say that ma chulda kol shema chulda av achbar kol shema achbar afilu achbar shebayam shema achbar. Just like anything that's called a chulda has a din of chulda, so to achbar, anything that's called achbar should have that din, and that would include achbar in the yam, this achbar type fish, because it's called achbar, so maybe it is metame. So to that, Talmud Lomer, that's where we have to have a pasuk. It says al haaretz, namely pasuk b'shratzim says al haaretz, and so we learn only on the ground. As the brisa, not so quick. I al haaretz, if you want to use the word al haaretz, yachol, maybe you should say al haaretz yitma, that anything that's called an achbar is matame if it's on the land, yerd liyam la yitma, if it goes out to the sea, so then it's not matame. In other words, it could be that the achbar of the yam is matame if it's on dry land, and the achbar of the dry land, if it's in the water, let's say it fell in and drowned, so maybe it's not matame. Perhaps that's what the pasuk al haaretz tells us. So to that, the pasuk continues. The pasuk says ha shayretz. The pasuk really could say vizel chem atame ba sheretz al haaretz, but instead it says vizel chem atame ba sheretz ha shayretz al haaretz. We have this extra word ha shayretz that tells us kol makom shayretz, that any place that it's shayretz, and the word is loosely translated as to creep or crawl or slither, and that could be done in the water, and that's how we know that the word al haaretz is teaching us that we're specifically referring to the min, the type that's on the aretz, and not the type that's in the water. However, the brisa continues, who says that's the drasha out of the word ha shayretz? Oy einay ela, maybe this is the proper drasha ha shayretz. What does this word tell us? Kol hamashritz yitma loy mashritz loy yitma. Anything which is mashritz is matame, but if it's not mashritz, it's not matame. We're going to clarify what that means in a moment. And what does that mean? Oyti achbar shechetzu batzer vechetzu adama. I'm going to exclude this mouse from the mishnah, which is half flesh, half earth. Shein par v'rava. It doesn't reproduce like regular. In other words, the word hashayretz, coming from the word sheretz, doesn't just mean creep, crawl, slither, like we just mentioned before. It also means to reproduce normally, like when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, and it says Ubnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu. That means to reproduce. So anything that doesn't reproduce like normal, such as mass, which is half earth, half flesh, so maybe that doesn't have the din of shratzim. However, says the Brisa, not so quick. Vidinhu would be kavachomer the other way around. Timei becholda v'timei ba'achbar. We're in time with the chulda, in time with the achbar. Ma chulda kol shishma chulda. Just like chulda, if it's called chulda, it has that din of achbar kol shishma achbar. So to achbar, if it's called achbar, it has that din avi achbar shechatzei basar v'chatzei adama. I'll also include an achbar, which is half basar, half adama. That would be counted as an achbar. Oy, says the Brisa, klacha derchzu. Maybe go the other way. Ma chulda parvirave af achbar parvirava. Just like chulda reproduces like regular, so to achbar has to reproduce like regular in order to be called an achbar. And this achbar, which is half adama, half basar, doesn't reproduce like that, so maybe it's not achbar. Tamalimer basheretz, that's the way of this extra word of basheretz, which tells us that even though it's half mouse, half earth, it's still considered a sheretz and it's metame. Many of the word hashayretz tells us that a sheretz is metame both on land and even it's in the water. And alaretz tells us it's only a type of sheretz which is from the aretz that's metame like that. But if the sheretz is from the sea, meaning it's this mouse type fish, that's not metame. However, Amalei Humei Rabban Rava, one of the Rabban asked Rava, Ema, why didn't I say that basheretz lasui achbar shechetzei basar v'chetzei adama? The word basheretz, you're right, is including what we just said it is, this type of mass which is half basar, half adama, and that's considered regular sheretz. However, here's the difference with the drasha. Hashayretz, what does that tell us? Kol shu shayretz afilu achbar shabayam, anything which is shayretz, and that would include even an achbar from the sea, and maybe shom al haaretz, if you're going to say, yeah, but what about the word al haaretz that we had just said before, tells us that only a mouse from the land is metame. And so I'd respond to that, says this Rabbanan to Rava, the proper drasha is al haaretz yitame, yar liyam lo yitame. It just means that if it's on land, it's metame, and that's even if it came from the sea, and if it's in the sea, if it's in the water, it's not metame, even if it comes from land. So maybe that's the drasha. Rav responded to him, Mechad Shavisa liyam makom toma mali hacha mali hacha. Once you're saying that the yam is a place of toma, which means that even something coming from the sea, this mouse type fish, you're saying that could have toma's sheretz, so what does it make a difference if it's here or there? Why are you differentiating and saying that only if it's on dry land, it's metame? That doesn't make sense. If you're allowing something from the sea to have the din of a sheretz, nets, so it should be metame even if it's in the sea. So if it's not a valid drasha, ask the Gemara a different question. We still need this word ala aretz to exclude something else, namely when we have suffik tuma, which is floating. The Amar of Yitzchak Rav Dimi, he says ala aretz lahoitzi suffik tuma tzafa. The word ala aretz tells us they were excluding suffik tuma, which is floating, which means if we have real tuma, which is floating, and there's just a suffik whether or not a person touched it, we're metaharim in all situations because of this word ala aretz. So how could we say that it's being used for the mouse drasha? The answer is tarti ala aretz ksivi. We have two words ala aretz, and therefore we have both drashas. Anything discussed from shratzim Torah Rabbanu Satan Braisa, when the pasuk says hatsav lemineu, the tsav according to its min, this is one of the shratzim, often translated as a frog or a toad. That's lahavia aroid, and actually some pronounce it as arvad over here. That's because throughout Gemara we find the word aroid as referring to a wild donkey, and over here we're not talking about a wild donkey, we're referring to an arvad, which we're about to see in a moment what that is. Uben hanefilim salamandra, the word tsav in the pasuk is coming to include these three things: the arvad, ben nefilim, and salamandra, which is salamander. They're all considered in the category of tsav. Now we're going to see that an arvad is a cross between a tsav and a nachash. Ben nephilim is unclear what it is, and salamandra, which we translate as salamander, Rashi explains is some sort of creature that's created from fire and kshafim and witchcraft, and the salamander is impervious to fire, and if one rubs themselves with salamander blood, they're also unable to be affected by fire. Either which way, all these things are considered a tsav, and so therefore they're shratzim. Now Rabbi Kiva got to this pasuk, the one that we just quoted, of Hatsav Lemineu, Imer, he would say as follows: Ma Rab Masach Hashem, how great are your works, Hashem? Yash Chabriyas Gdeles Bayam, Yash Chabriyas Gdeles Bayabasha. You have creatures or creations that live or that grow, they're raised in the sea, and some on dry land, and Shabayam Mali Oz Bayabasha Miyad Mesais, Shabasha Mali Yardis Liam Miyad Mesais. The ones from the sea, if they would come on dry land, they would die right away, and the ones from dry land, if they would go into the sea, they would die right away. And Yash Chabriyas Gdeles Ba'ur, Yash Chabriyas Gdeles Ba'avir. You have creatures that grow or live in fire, and those that live in the air. The fire is referring to the salamander that we just mentioned. The ones from the fire, if they would go into the air, they would die. The ones from the air, if they would go into the fire, they would die. And so we see that your world is created perfect. Each one lives and grows and is raised in its own habitat, perfect for it. And therefore, it's very apropos to say this pasuk, Ma Rabba Masach Hashem. And continue to discuss Torah Banu Vibraiso. Kol she'yesh biyabasha, yesh bayam, chutz min hachulda. Anything that we have on dry land, we have some sort of counterpart in the sea, except for a chulda, except for this weasel. And Ormzeri says, my crow, what's a pasuk that supports this? So we have a pasuk that tells us, Hazinu kol yesh vechaled, listen up, all your dwellers of Chaled. Now, Chaled is referring to dry land over here, and it's being called this because a Chulda only lives on dry land. There is no such counterpart on the water. Now, continue to discuss something similar. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua tells us, Bevare Denarash. Bevare over here is literally translated as beavers, and it sounds exactly like that. Bevare, beavers. And we all know that beavers are those ones that chew at tree trunks and build dams and rivers. So the beavers of Narash, Einun Min HaYishuv, they're not from the Yishuv, which means they're not considered land creatures, rather water creatures. Now, once we mention Narash, we have a few select things to say about the city. Amar Rav Papa tells us, Bishamta Narash. Narash, the city, this area, is in Shamta, it's in Cherim, it's excommunicated. Tarbe Mashchev Al Yasei, it's fat, it's hide, and it's tail. In other words, everyone, every single person in Narash, they're all terrible people. And another thing about Narash, the Pasuk tells us, Eretz, Eretz, Aretz, Shimi Devar Hashem, land, 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 hear the word of Hashem. Amar Rav Papa says about this, Loi Ava Narash, Shimi Devar Hashem, Narash doesn't want to listen to the words of Hashem. They're such terrible people over there. More about them and other people as well from different cities. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav Nishar Nashkaich. If somebody from Narash kisses you, money kachach, you should count your teeth because they're all a bunch of robbers. And could be when the fellow kissed you, he stole your teeth. And Nahar Pagdal Lavyach. If somebody from Nahar Pakaid is accompanying you along the way, Miglimi Shapir the Chazi Alach, it's just because he saw a really nice cloak on you and he's going to steal it from you. And Pumbadisa Lavyach. If someone from Pumbadisa is accompanying you, Ashne Ushpizach, you should change the place where you were going to stay overnight because he's probably going to come back in the middle of the night and rob you. So you should quickly change your dwellings to a different hotel. Now back to our discussion of Shratzim. Amar Funa Bar Taisa, he tells us, Pamach Zlachti Levad, one time I went to this place called Vad, Verisi Nachash Shu Karach Al Hatsav. I saw a Nachash, a snake, which was Karach, it was hanging around, it was spending a lot of time with itsav, which we had said is sometimes translated as a frog or a toad. Now, Liyamim, after some time, Yotza Arvod Mibinehem, and Arvod came from them, which means they mated, and they gave birth to this Arvod, which is a terrible creature that was biting everyone and killing them. And Achshabas Lefner B'Shemin Chassid, when I came to B'Shemin Chassid, and I told him this, Amar Li, he said to me, Amakash Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Hey, Mivyu Bria Shaloi Barasi Ba'ilami, they brought creations that I didn't create in my world. The people of Vad were known to crossbreed animals. And Hashem says, look, these people are creating things that I didn't bring in the world. Afani Avi Alein Bria Shaloi Barasi Ba'ilami, I'm also going to bring something on them that I didn't create into this world. And so he caused an Arvod to be created from this crossbreed of a snake and a toad, and then went around biting and killing people. Ask the Gemara, how could this be? Amar Meir was stated, Kol Shetashmishin V'Ibrun Shava, Yaldin Mugadlin Zamizeh. Anything that the way that they're mishamish, the way that they're intimate, and their length of their pregnancy are the same, so they're able to give birth and nurse from each other. If the way they have tashmish and their length of pregnancy is not the same, so they're not able to have children and nurse from each other. The snake's pregnancy is much longer than a frog or toad, and so how can these two be mated in order to produce this arvud creature? So Amaravi says, it's a nace within a nace. Then not only did two different species mate with each other, which is very uncommon, they even had offspring. Ask the Gemara, hypernusahu, this is considered a punishment. What type of nace is that? Usually Hashem makes a nace to show something wonderful, but a punishment? Why are you calling that a nace? And the answer is, yeah, my nace b'sach nace, lipuranus. Why is it a nace b'sach nace? For punishment, in order to show wicked people that Hashem could create a nace in order to punish them. So yes, it's called a nace b'sach nace. And going back to discuss what we were talking about in previous Mishnahs and Gemaras, namely, if we have flesh that came off an animal, what's its din? Is it nevela? Is something else? And we actually had this in an earlier parak as well. The Mishnah tells us, either a limb or flesh, which is meduldal, it's hanging off of an animal. So matamitomas eichlin kaiman, as matamitomas eichlin, where it is, utzrichen hechsher, but it requires hechsher as to be made susceptible to makabel tumah by getting wet with one of the seven liquids. Now, it's not considered aver menachai or basar menachai because it's not fully detached from the animal. However, since it's hanging from the animal, it is considered eichlin, as we have mentioned in the past, and therefore it is matamitomas eichlin if, for example, a dead sharetz touches it. However, as the Mishnah just said, it does require hechsher. It has to be made susceptible to makabel tumah. That would be if a person thinks to himself, you know what, I'm going to cut this off and feed it to a non-Jew, so then it's able to be eichlin. So as long as it undergoes hechsher, it's able to be makabel tumah eichlin. Let's say this animal was shechted, so now this piece that was hanging off of it has become mukhshar b'makabel tumah because of the blood of the animal, and that's even if the blood didn't actually touch this piece, since the blood was makhshar one part of the animal and the whole thing is considered connected. And so now this piece or this limb that was dangling off is considered mukhshar b'makabel tumah. Divrei Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion, whereas Rav Shimon Omer loy hukhshar. Rav Shimon says it's not mukhshar b'makabel tumah, and we're going to see why that is in the Gemara. Now, what about if it wasn't shechted, but mesah behema, the animal died, so abasar tzar hechsher, this flesh that was dangling off, it requires hechsher, and ha'ever metame shum ever min hachai, this limb that was dangling off before is metame as ever min hachai, ve'en metame shum ever nevela, it's not metame as regular ever nevela, divrei Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion, whereas Rav Shimon metaher, Rav Shimon's metaher it, metaher not as ever, and the reason why it's metaher as ever min hachai is because he holds misa oisa nipul, that when it died without being shechted, that makes it into nipul. It's as if it fell off the animal completely right before it died, so it's not considered nevela, it's actually considered aver menachai, which is a slightly different type of tumah than nevela, and we'll see how that is in the Gemara. Now the Gemara begins by discussing this first din of the basar, which is medoldol, it's hanging off of the animal, and we said it's metame tumas eichlin. Now we learn from here, says the Gemara, tumas eichlin in tumas nevela loy, that it's metame tumas eichlin, but it's not metame tumas nevela. As the Gemara, has that work? Hechidami, idmalan arucha, if this flesh was more attached, it was able to regenerate and become part of the animal once again. So I feel tumas eichlin namila tamu, it shouldn't even be metame tumas eichlin, because really it's considered connected to the animal, and it's not just flesh dangling off of it. And vida ein malan aruka, if it's not able to regenerate, so tumas nevela namila tamu, it should be metame tumas nevela, because for all intents and purposes, it's not considered attached to the animals, so it should be considered nevela, which really means aver menachai over here. The bottom line is, how are we saying that it's at this in-between state? It's considered detached to the extent that it's food, so it's metame tumas eichlin, but it's not detached enough that it's considered nevela or aver menachai. How are we understanding that? The answer is, la'olam ein malan aruka, really it's not able to regenerate. Vashani tumas nevela, tumas nevela, again, meaning aver menachai is different. The Rachmana Amar, the pasuk says, ki yipol. As we've had this pasuk many times before, it says, v'chi yipol minivlasam al kozar zerua, if from their nevela, it falls. Now, what do we learn from this lashon of yipol? Ad shi yipol, it has to completely fall off the animal in order to be able to say that it's aver menachai and it's metame a high level of tomo. But since it hasn't completely fallen off, it's still partially attached, so it's not considered nevela. And Tanya Namach, we rest just like this. However, basar hamidul dalan bebehemo, we have a limb or flesh that's hanging, it's dangling off of an animal, umurun b'chot asara, and it's still attached by a very thin strand, like a strand of hair, yachli tamatomas nevela, you might think it's matamatomas nevela, again, which means aver menachai over here. Tamalayu, so the pasuk says, yipol, ad shi yipol, it has to fall off completely. Says the Gemara, okay, vafilu hachi tomas eichlin metamu, even so, it is metame tomas eichlin. That means, again, as we had said, that let's say dead sharetz touches it, so now it's tame, and it can be metame other foods. So it is in this in-between stage, it kind of has this quasi-status of being attached, because it's not metame as eiver menachai, but also considered detached, because metame tomas eichlin. Says the Gemara, Mesayel Ruchi Barashi, this right for Ruchi Barashi, Dar Ruchi Barashi, Amar Shmuel, he tells us, te'enim shetzom kubi bayen, if we have figs that dried up when they were still attached, they dried up in their stems, they're attached to the tree, and they dried up, metame tomas eichlin, there are eiver metame tomas eichlin, that means for all intents and purposes, they're considered detached, because fruit, while it's attached, a tree is not even tamei tumas eichlin, but these figs, they dried up. So even tamei tumas eichlin. However, vatosh men b'shabes chayv chatos. If someone detaches them on Shabbos, he's chayv chatos for detaching something from a tree on Shabbos. So we see that it has this quasi status. It's partially attached, partially not attached. The Gemara continues. Let's say the following is also a raya. We have a brass that tells us yurakas should some kubibayin. Vegetables that dried up and their stems are still attached could go in kruv adalas. For example, cabbage and gourd. They're not matamei tumas eichlin. That's because cabbage and gourd specifically, when they dry up, they're as hard as eights as wood and they're not edible. Now let's say ktsatsan v'yivshan. He cut them off and he dried them out. Matamei tumas eichlin. They are ilur matamei tumas eichlin. Now we clarify this. Ktsatsan v'yivshan zal gadaitach. Do you really think that if he cut them off and he dried them, that they're matamei tumas eichlin? How does that make sense? Eitz ba'amahu. It's just wood. And we just said before that cabbage and gourd, when they dry out, they're so hard, they're not able to be eaten. So what does that mean? If you cut them and dry them, they're matamei tumas eichlin. From Rav Yitzchak clarifies that no, be'al menas liyabshan, it's where he cut them with intention to dry them out, calls ma, they're not fully dry, so then they are matamei tumas eichlin. Now, bottom line, what do we see from this braisa? Taima de kruv adalasu. The only reason why, when it's dried, while it's still attached to its stem, that it's not matamei tumas eichlin is because we're talking about kruv adalas, kivin de yivshan, since they're dried out, lavene achilin enu, they're not able to be eaten, so they're not matamei tumas eichlin. But that's mashma, hashar peiros matamei, that other peiros, which are able to be eaten when they're dried, they would be matamei tumas eichlin. What's the case we're referring to? If we're saying that them and the stem that they're attached to completely dried, pshita, of course it's matamei tumas eichlin. It's not considered connected to the ground. If the stem is also dry, so for all intents and purposes, it's considered detached. So of course it's matamei tumas eichlin. That's not a chiddush. It must be the Brass is talking about where dried up, where only it, the fruit itself dried up, but not the stem, and still we see them as matamei tumas eichlin, even though it's considered detached. So that seems to be just like what Shmuel said. Says the Gemara, no, not a raya. The brasa could actually be talking about where it and the stem dried out. And so, what's the chiddush? Really, the seifo. The main thing that we're learning is from the next part that he cut them with intention to dry them out. And the chiddush over there is that as long as they're not fully dry, they're able to become a tumas eichlin. Because again, we're talking about cabbage and gourd that while they're still not fully dry, they're edible. So that's really the main chiddush. This brasa is not necessarily raya for Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Tashma. Here we're gonna try to ask a question on Shmuel. What about the following? A tree that broke or it split and it had fruit on the branch that broke off. So I ran Ketlushin, they're considered like they're detached. And that means if he were to take one off on Shabbos, it's not like he took a fruit off of a tree on Shabbos because this branch isn't attached to the tree anymore. Now, what about the following? Before the branch broke off the tree, Yavshu, the fruits dried out. Harin Kimichubarin, they're considered like they're attached. Now, my love, shouldn't we learn from here? The Matlushin L'chol Devrein, just like in the first case of the Braisa, when the branch broke off, we say it's considered detached in regards to everything. Af Mechubarin L'chol Devrein. So too, when the branch is still attached and it dried out, it's considered attached in regards to everything. And that's not like Shmuel, because Shmuel says that there's a difference, that it's considered detached in regards to tumas eichlin, but it's considered attached in regards to Shabbos. If you pull it off the tree on Shabbos, it would be chai for doing a malacha. But it's mashma from our understanding of the Braisa, that the Reish and the Seifa are referring to the same thing, that if the fruit dried out while it was attached to the tree, it's considered completely attached, and that means it would not be matamei tumas eichlin. Definitely not like Shmuel, says the Gemara. Me the area, is that really so? You're understanding the Braisa wrong. This one's like this one, and that one's like that one. Meaning, the Reish is the Reish, and the Seifa is the Seifa. The Reish, which is referring to a branch that broke off the tree. So you're right, those fruits are considered completely detached, both in regards to Tumas Eichlin and in regards to Shabbos. But the Seifa, the Braisa, where the fruits dried out while they were still attached to the tree, so then there's actually a difference. In regards to Tumas Eichlin, they're Metame, but in regards to Shabbos, they're still considered attached, so that actually would be like Shmuel, not Akasha. It would actually be a Raya for him. And continue to discuss the next part of the Mishnah, Nishchata Behem of Chulu. If this animal that had the hanging flesh or limb was shechted, so we had a machlekes from Meir and Reb Shimon. Reb Meir says that now was shechted, this dangling flesh and limb became Mokshel Kabotomos. Reb Shimon says, no, it didn't. So the question is, Mike and Mifligi, what are they arguing about? And we're going to have six different explanations of how they're arguing, some today and some tomorrow. So Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Behem and Nasas Yad La'Ever Kamifligi, the machlekes is, does the animal become a yad? Does it become a handle for the limb that's hanging off? Mar Savar, Behem and Nasas Yad La'Ever. Reb Shimon holds, the behemoth doesn't become a yad for the aver. You can't say that an entire animal becomes a yad for one limb. Whereas Umar Sover Behemoth Nasi Yad La'Aver, Reb Meir holds that the animal does become a yad for the aver. And we know that the yada is their mevi and mitzi toma, and they're also mevi hechsher. So if the yad becomes mokshel lekabel toma, that would also be machsher, the main thing. So according to Reb Meir, the animal becomes mokshel lekabel toma, and it's a yad for the aver which is dangling. So the aver also becomes mokshel lekabel toma. According to Reb Shimon, the animal might become mokshel lekabel toma, but it's not considered a yad for this little thing that's dangling off of it. So that thing, that aver, that piece of meat is not Mokshel Kabel Toma. Here's our second explanation. Abaye says, They're arguing about if you hold the small part and the larger part is not schlepped along with it, how do we view that? That even if you hold the small one and the large one doesn't come with it, it's still considered part of it. And that's because since when you hold the large part, the small part comes with it, so the small and large part are considered connected. However, Reb Shimon holds, it's not like it. Namely, Reb Shimon holds that if you grab onto this limb which is dangling and you try to pull the animal with it, the limb's just going to snap right off the animal. It's not going to be able to schlep the whole animal with it, so it's not considered connected to it. Yeah, you're right. If you pull the animal, the limb's going to come with it, but it's still not considered connected. And therefore, just because the animal's moksha lekabel toma, that's not going to go to the small limb. They're not considered connected. Now, before we get to our next answer, the Gemara just continues, Reb Yochanan holds the same thing, just like Abaye explained, that that's what the Machlaika says. How do we know this? Because Reb Yochanan ramid Rav Meir ad Rav Meir. Reb Yochanan asks a stira, shitas Rav Meir on himself. He asks as follows, Mi amar Rav Meir eichas bakatan ve'in gadol ayli imai harayu kamayu? Did Rav Meir really say that if somebody holds onto the small part and he tries to schlep the large one, it's not going to come along with it? Really, the small one is considered part of the larger one? How could you say that? Rav Meir will ask you a stira. We have Mishnah that tells us, eichas shenifresu ma'ir miktas. We have food. This is specifically talking about truma, which is broken, but it's still a little bit ma'ir, which means still a little bit attached. For example, you have a truma cucumber. It was broken, but not fully in half. It's still partially attached. So Rav Meir says, im eiches bakaton v'gadol oyle imoy hareu kamayu. If you hold on to the smaller piece of the cucumber, that was our example, and the larger piece is schlepped along with it, so then they're considered connected. V'mlav enu kamayu. If not, then they're not considered connected. And this is specifically in regards to a tevul yom. We know a person who's tamei who went to the mikveh that day. He's a tevul yom. He still is going to passel truma if he touches it. He has to wait till harav shemesh. He has to wait till nightfall in order to be 100% tahar. So Rav Meir says in this case, we have a person who's a tevul yom. If he touches the small piece, that's going to be metame everything over here. And again, it's only the situation where the small piece is able to schlep the large one along with it. If not, so the small and large are considered detached. Now, Amar Yechon Rechon says, Muchlefes HaShita, this Shita switched around, which means Rav Meir switched around his Shita in this situation. Usually, Rav Meir holds that if you hold on to the small one, even if the large one is not schlepped along with it, they're still considered connected. However, Rav Meir over here is holding different than he usually does. So we see from Rav Yechon's comment that generally, Rav Meir does hold that even though the small part can't schlep the large part, as long as the large part could schlep the small part, they're considered connected, and that would be our case over here with the limb that's hanging off the animal. We see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Abaye. Gemara says, okay, but now just asks on this question that Rabbi Yochanan had, that Rav Meir seems to switch his shita around. My question, what's the problem that Rav Meir holds different over here in this Mishnah about Tevul Yom, and he doesn't hold that elsewhere? Dilma, Shani Leila Rav Meir bein Tevul Yom l'shar Tumas. Maybe Rav Meir holds that Tevul Yom is different than other Tumas. Tevul Yom is a lighter type of Tumah. Rashi calls it a Tumah Drabanan. It's not really a Tumah Drabanan. It's just a lighter type of Tumah. So maybe that's why Rav Meir specifically holds, in this case of Tevul Yom by Truma, that if the small piece is not able to schlep the large one along, so they're not considered connected. But it could be with other Tumas. For example, Tumas Nevela or Aver Menachai, like our Mishnah, Rav Meir's Machmir, because it's a much more Chamer type of Tumah. So it's not a steer of Meir on himself. The Gemara says, no. Tanya, we have a Braisa that tells us, Rabbi says, Echad Tevul Yom v'Echad Shar Tumas, that Tevul Yom and all Tumas really have the same din. So Rabbi Yechon did have a good question on Rav Meir. Ask the Gemara, V'dilma l'Rabbi l'Shani Lay, or Meir Shani Lay. Maybe Rabbi doesn't differentiate between his Tumas, but Rav Meir does differentiate between Tevul Yom and other Tumas. So Rabbi Yesh explains, you're right. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yechon, this is what Rabbi Yechon really meant to say when he was asking this question, L'divrei Rabbi Mukhlef Sashita. According to Rabbi, that there's no difference between Tevul Yom and other types of Tumas. So then the way that the Mishnah quoted Rav Meir's Shita, it would be steered to whether Rav Meir holds elsewhere, but again, it's only in Shita's Rabbi. Either which way, we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds just like Abaye's way of explaining what the Machlaikas Rav Meir and Rav Shimon is in our Mishnah. And we're stopping for the day, pick up tomorrow with another four explanations. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.